It is very important for young people of color to have someone positive in their lives outside of their parents to help mold them in a way that their caregivers are sometimes not able to do. Given today's social climate and the underrepresentation of positive minority figures in the media, the significance of having a mentor who looks like or has a similar background to a mentee is enormous. I am a native of southern New Jersey by way of West Indian parents. As a child, I don't think I realized the importance of having a mentor or anyone to look up to. I am the second eldest in my family and was the eldest in my household, so I am accustomed to being that person to whom everyone turns for advice. As I got older and pursued career choices that solidified me being that person, it just seemed natural to find myself in situations that called for me to mentor young people in some form or another. Despite not being aware of the necessity of a mentor, I was well aware of the things that made me different from my peers, thanks to teasing and bullying, such as my grades, complexion, hair, ethnicity, height, and whatever else differentiated me from others. These experiences definitely set the tone for how I saw myself as a young woman and the relationships, both personal and interpersonal, that I fostered. What I was not aware of is that I was not alone. There are many children like me, as well as those who have had struggles very different from mine growing up. As a behavioral health therapist, I have come in contact with many families and young people in Philadelphia who are in need of someone to talk to, and more importantly, someone to listen. I have found that often, in some families of color, issues just aren't discussed, from the trivial things to big family secrets. For instance, if the family is struggling economically, as is often the case in inner-city families, the parent or caregiver may be able to muster up only enough energy to provide the basic necessities. Sometimes, they cannot be present for everything the child is experiencing. Parents and caregivers no doubt care for their children, but sometimes they are too close to the situation at hand to give an objective point of view. Possibly, the child does not confide in the caregiver for fear of backlash, so the problems are never brought up. Whatever is going on with the child may not warrant therapy, but it may just require an outside perspective from someone the child can trust and speak to freely. In my experience, I see that having a mentor who is a mature person doing positive things in the community can have a strong impact on young people. However, having a person who is closer in age, who reaches back to spend time with a younger person, has a much stronger impact. To put it frankly, having a mentor who has survived and is thriving as an adult, doing the things that some inner city youth only attribute to white people because that is what they see, is amazing. Sharing a background can help bridge gaps and promote healing for both mentor and mentee. For young people, it is a benefit to have someone who gets them. Mentors also benefit because now they can be the person they may have wished they'd had growing up. In joining the My Sister's Keeper Collective, I hope to uplift and empower young women of color. Similarly, helping another young person defy odds, exceed limits, and counter stereotypes that come with being a minority in America is the ultimate gift. My name is Sierra Farquharson. I am a therapist, behavioral health. We have so many titles and they all mean the same thing.
And where do you work?
Currently, I am a lead clinician in a middle school or elementary school in the Logan section of Philly.
How diverse was the environment that you grew up in?
You know, it wasn't very diverse at all, I guess. I didn't notice until maybe high school, my senior year. We had a lot of African-American and Latino children, a very, very small handful of Asians, and 2-5 white kids, maybe.
And where did you grow up?
Pleasantville, New Jersey.
In your essay, you mentioned that your parents were West Indian, is that right?
Yes, my mother is Jamaican, my dad is Bahamian.
So they immigrated from the Caribbean?
Yes.
How do you think that immigrant experience influenced your experience as a child?
I think it definitely influenced a lot of my experiences. I'm still learning that now. It's coming into contact with people that are fully American. Parents are from here. They grew up here totally or have just never even been out of the country. It definitely changed the way I saw things, the way I did things going into college, or even just like kind of having my own home. You know, those things were very different.
What helped make things better for you, if not having a mentor yourself?
Poetry and art definitely were outlets. You know, that's what I knew. That's what I did growing up.
And those are things that you continue today?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Can you talk a little bit about the poetry and the art that you do?
Sure. I've been writing poetry since I was about 12 years old and performing since I was 14. And I do both poetry and spoken word. And for me, the difference in that is poetry is for the page, spoken word is for the stage. And totally just made that up. Didn't mean to make it rhyme, but it did, so that's wonderful. But yeah, it's a huge outlet. I'm more of a free verse poet and spoken word artist. I don't necessarily confine myself to poetry that you would learn in a classroom. It's just a form of expression for me, a form of freedom.
What are some of the similarities that you see between your family and the families that you help?
Culture. Even though I have yet to come across a West Indian family, I have come across African American families, I've come across Hispanic families, and that feeling of like love and care is there, even if it's on a different scale. Some of the similarities, I see a lot of children that remind me of myself. And I'm like, how is this possible to see so many kids with something that reminds me of a younger me? You know, whether it be wanting to be introverted and nice to people all the time when you're not really feeling that way inside, or people kind of just unsure of what to say in different situations. Parents that are very my way and no other way kind of thing. That's how I grew up. And I have to, it's difficult to, or rather it's challenging to work with these parents who may be my age, or they may be my mother's age, or, you know, somewhere in between, and try to empathize with them. Like, you know, we grew up the same way. I understand that it is your way and no way else, but this generation of children is different. We didn't ask questions. Why was met with because I said so, you know, now why is met with I'm going to find it on the internet because you didn't tell me an answer, you know, and trying to kind of work with these parents and teach them that is definitely a different experience. But the similarities are definitely there, very much so.
And when you see those similarities, when you recognize yourself and those other kids, does that help you connect with them?
I think it does. I definitely think it does. It helps the connection for me, because of all the other things I've got going on with trying to, with being a mental health and behavioral health therapist. But the challenge is, do I let them know of these similarities, or do I just kind of use them quietly? You know, and that's something they still can't teach you in school. You just kind of go with it. You know, whatever feels right at the time.
What do you bring as a mentor? Do you incorporate poetry or spoken word, for example?
I definitely would. This is my first year mentoring, so I've only had... This is my first year officially mentoring with an established group. I feel like I've been a mentor forever. But yes, I definitely do and would, just to teach people that there are other outlets, you know, aside from whatever else they may be doing. Or I have a young lady now that doesn't necessarily have outlets, kind of doesn't know what she likes to do. So I'm going in between, do I introduce her to the things that I like in hopes that, you know, she finds something that works for her, or just help her explore things that she does to relax and kind of build on those. So, yeah, I do bring what I like to do into the arena.
How do you recognize success in what you do?
Man, success is like, it's a sliding scale sometimes. I think it's the little things. little progresses, little wins, I like to call them. If I am, as a clinician, I've seen more of that, more successes in that. It could be one day of a child being able to stay in the classroom and not having a tantrum. Or if you have a tantrum, it's a 5 instead of an 8.5, you know, and those little things. I really have to focus on those to get the family and the child to focus on those. Because a lot of people kind of expect magic. They expect me to do, you know, circus tricks or something to heal their child. And that's not the way it goes. And everything is a progression. And everything is very small and very little. And then those things add up to the bigger things. So those things, I would say, are the wins and the successes in what I do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.